everyone, and welcome to Connected Roots, Educational Insights for a Better World. This podcast is a collective effort brought to you by the Humane Education Coalition. Connected Roots features inspiring interviews and stories from experts in the field of humane education. I'm your host, Megan Moon, president and founder of the Coalition. We are a global alliance for collective impact. We collaborate with education partners in human rights, environmental ethics, and animal protection to achieve common goals and support their work. You can learn more at hecoalition.org. On today's episode, we welcome Zoe Weil, author and founder of the Institute for Humane Education, or IHE. As the president of IHE, Zoe created the first humane education graduate programs linking human rights, environmental preservation, and animal protection, and preparing teachers to educate a generation of solutionaries. Zoe is the author of 7 books and a frequent speaker across the U.S. and abroad. Zoe, welcome to Connected Roots, and thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Megan. Thank you.
Great. Well, we're delighted to have you here. You are, of course, a well-known and respected figure in humane education. I've admired your work for many years, and the Institute for Humane Education was actually my earliest introduction to comprehensive humane education. How did you come to pursue a career in humane education? What inspired you to feel so passionate about this work?
So it goes back to 1987 when I was looking for a summer job when I was in graduate school. And I pitched a series of week-long courses to middle school students at a summer program at the University of Pennsylvania. And one of those courses was on animal issues. Another course was on environmental issues. And when I taught those courses, the students were transformed over the course of that week, and many became activists. And I was so inspired by the power of education about relevant real-world issues to transform and awaken and engage and enliven young people that the course changed my life, and it made me realize that there was a kind of education that could really create positive change in the world. And it had a name. It was humane education. And so I've been a humane educator ever since.
That's fantastic, Zoe. And I think a lot of us can probably relate to your experience. So let's talk about the Institute for Humane Education. When did you create the organization, and what is its purpose for those listeners who maybe aren't as familiar?
So I co-founded the organization in 1996, after having been a humane educator full-time in the schools for 7 years, going into schools and giving presentations and doing after-school courses and speaking in classrooms. And that initial feeling that I had from the first courses that I taught was just reinforced by those years of going into classrooms. But I realized that we weren't going to truly transform the world by only educators, humane educators visiting classrooms. We really needed to transform what happens in the classroom every day by preparing teachers and helping schools to integrate humane education deeply into the curriculum. So in 1996, the goal was to prepare teachers to do this work, to create the first certificate and later graduate programs in humane education, in comprehensive humane education, linking human rights and animal protection and environmental ethics. And, you know, also to drive this shift about the very purpose of schooling so that we could really embrace relevancy and meaning and purpose in schools for young people to learn how to create a better world, or to be what we call at the Institute for Humane Education, solutionaries. So our work is to help people create a world where all humans and animals and nature can thrive.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, Zoe. Tell me more about the term you used, solutionary. For those listeners who are tuning in and learning about this term for the first time, what does solutionary mean? And how can our listeners apply that concept in their lives or their work?
So the word solutionary, people have usually an immediate understanding of what it probably means. And they're probably right. A solutionary, however, is not just a problem solver. So a solutionary is somebody who can identify unsustainable and unjust and inhumane systems and then devise solutions that address the causes of the problems that they want to change and do so in a way that does the most good and the least harm to everyone, to people, animals, and the environment. So the thing that distinguishes a solutionary is somebody who is looking at the big picture, all the stakeholders who are impacted by a problem, and who also strives to find systemic causal solutions to it. So as opposed to just putting on a Band-Aid, you know, here's an example. If somebody is walking on the beach and they see tons of trash, a typical response to that is to organize a beach cleanup. Now, beach cleanup is a great thing to do. We need people to do beach cleanups, but it's not a solutionary thing to do because next week, next month, next year, there's going to be more trash on the beach. In order to take a solutionary approach, we have to understand what are the causes of the trash on the beach and then address those causes.
That makes sense, and it's such a helpful perspective to take and a lot to learn for those of us who have been involved in education or nonprofit work in our communities to sort of reframe our vision of change making. I think it's a very unique perspective to take.
Well, thanks. I feel like, you know, one of the things that makes solutionary work so important is it also discourages either or thinking and side taking. So, you know, we are constantly pushed within our political systems and in the media to choose sides on issues that are presented to us in either or terms. You know, either we're going to protect the economy or we're going to protect the environment, as if we can't do both things at once. And so solutionaries just reject that kind of thinking. It's not to say that a solutionary would never take a side in a situation, but rather that when issues are presented to us in black and white terms like that, solutionaries are going to be striving to talk to all stakeholders, understand their perspectives, take everybody's views into perspective, into consideration, and then derive solutions that are striving to do the most good and the least harm to everyone.
Great. Thank you for that explanation, Zoe. In addition to founding and leading IHE, you are also an accomplished author of several books, many of which fill my shelves here at the Coalition. Tell me more about your most recent book, The World Becomes What We Teach. You know, in writing the book, what are the best strategies you've discovered to address global issues? Do you have any guidance that might be helpful for our listeners?
Well, so I thank you for what you said about my books. I've written a lot of different books. I've written them for young people. I've written them for teachers. I've written them for the general public. I wrote a children's novel. And the most recent one, The World Becomes What We Teach, Educating a Generation of Solutionaries, is really, it's like a vision and a manifesto for how we need to transform our educational system so that we can educate young people to be these solutionaries. And it's purposely very short book, so that any teacher, even with their incredibly busy schedules, can pick it up and read it. And I'm really excited that San Mateo County, California, has adopted this book as a text for its teachers, and they have adopted this solutionary approach as the philosophy and framework for their 23 school districts and 113,000 students.
Wow.
And I know it's so exciting to have, you know, this whole county. This is the county that is between San Francisco and Palo Alto, and the idea that an entire county would take this on, and they're going to have a solutionary fair in March, and use this book as sort of the text for thinking about how we should educate people is really, really exciting. And it's not a book that's only for teachers. It's, you know, if somebody's a parent, if they're a mentor, if they're a concerned citizen, and they're thinking about what is it that we need to change in order to create a more just and peaceful and sustainable world. You know, one of the core things that we need to change is the system that underlies all the other systems. And that's our system of schooling. It's our system of education. And so that's the system that I sort of dedicated my life to addressing. And there are many systems in need of change, but I really feel like it's the core system and we have to get it right. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
So let's switch gears a bit, Zoe, and talk about the future of humane education. Where do you believe we are headed as a field? Do you have any thoughts to share on this topic?
I do. I think you've heard me say this before. You know, my goal is that the term humane education disappears and it's just synonymous with education. Mm-hmm. That education itself integrates real world issues that are relevant to the lives and well-being of people, animals, and the environment, integrates those issues fully into the curriculum and prepares people to be solutionaries. And if that is the definition of education, then our work is done and we can just be educators. We don't have to have a special name. We don't have to be disenfranchised from the mainstream. We're just educators because that, I believe, is what we should be striving for. I want to say one more thing about my book, which is that we've just produced a solutionary guidebook that is a free downloadable guidebook for educators and activists to use. And it's available on our website. And it will be up at the very end of October, which is when this should be airing. And so that anybody who is interested in this work, no matter where they are in the world, they can download that guidebook and they can start practicing solutionary work. It offers a 14-step process for being a solutionary and for bringing this concept to people of all ages and to, you know, hopefully get more and more people who are thinking like solutionaries. So I just wanted to mention that.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to see that resource at the end of October. The guidebook sounds like a transformative resource and a very generous gift to the field of humane education.
I hope so. Thank you.
So as we wrap up here today, if there is one valuable takeaway you hope individuals glean either from your books or from your work at IHE, what would it be?
You know, I think it would be that it's twofold. And it gets back to really what the definition of solutionary is. One of the things that I find so discouraging is when people think that they have to focus on one issue exclusively so that the other issues don't matter, as opposed to seeing the issue that they're focused on being part of a bigger whole. So the world needs people to focus on the things that they're passionate about. So whether it's animals or the environment or human rights, it's important that people have the opportunity to really dive deep into issues and transform them. But it's also critically important that everybody sees their work as part of a bigger whole, not as an either or, but as something they're part of. So for humane educators, for people listening to this podcast, I hope that no matter what arena of humane education they work in, whether they're focused on issues related to dogs and cats, or issues related to the environment or human rights, that they recognize that all issues of justice and compassion are related to each other. And that everybody, no matter where they are focused, also strives in their own life and in their teaching to promote the idea of doing the most good and the least harm to everybody, to, again, people, animals, and the environment. And I stress that so much as a comprehensive humane educator because I often see people sort of getting into their camps and forgetting that there's a big world that needs all of us working together and understanding and appreciating each other and recognizing that we are all a piece of the whole.
Mm-hmm. Wise words. Thank you. You said it beautifully, Zoe.
Thank you.
I appreciate you taking the time to join me on Connected Roots. We love partnering with the Institute for Humane Education and sending our partners your way for outstanding programs, books, resources like this new guidebook you're rolling out soon, and much more. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Megan. And I just have to say, we at IHE are just thrilled by what you've created with the Humane Education Coalition. We're really proud to be part of it. I'm thrilled to be a partner. And so thank you for all you are doing.
Learn more about IHE and Zoe's books by visiting humaneeducation.org. You can also find them on Facebook at the handle Institute for Humane Education and Twitter and Instagram at the handle Humane Education. This concludes our episode of Connected Roots. Thanks for tuning in. Visit or subscribe to our podcast at hecoalition.org/podcast for news, heartfelt stories, educational experiences, and moments of kindness from changemakers around the world. Please also consider sponsoring our podcast. Your sponsorship allows us to continue this educational program for our global network of listeners who rely on the resources we share. Visit hecoalition.org/give for details. Thanks again for listening to Connected Roots, and thank you for all you do to create a more compassionate, equitable, and regenerative future.